now is probably the best time to get into coaching, because it takes 3 to 6 months to figure out, you know, what you're doing in the multifamily space, how to put something together. And, you know, by that time, you know, we could be game back on again.
What's up, everyone? This is the Passive Wealth Strategy Show, the show that will teach you how to build wealth with real estate without buying yourself another job. As always, I am your host, Taylor Lote, and today we are joined by Brian Briscoe. Brian is a full-time real estate investor who is based in the Salt Lake City, Utah area. He's been investing in apartments for quite a long time now, and he retired from the U.S. Marines after 20 years of service back in the 20-teens. He's gotten so much done. He's really focusing on growing his apartment portfolio out there in the Mountain States. I'm so excited to talk with him today about investing in multifamily in 2024 in today's environment of high interest rates, high prices, and turmoil in some aspects of the economy. So, Brian, thanks so much for joining us today. Tell us about what your focus is these days and really where you're buying properties.
Awesome. Thanks for having me back on. I appreciate it. Yeah. So the focus geographically, you know, the focus is Salt Lake City. And when, you know, when I sit back and kind of look at real estate, you know, I'm mid-40s. I've been through a couple of crashes. My first investment property was, you know, 2007. I literally bought within 1 month of the peak, you know, and, you know, I've got a little more history than some of the younger guys. But, you know, long story short, when I look at overall what happens in the real estate market, you know, I think the best thing that you can do is pick an area that's going to grow and focus, you know. And quite honestly, it took me many, many years to come to this conclusion. But so that's exactly what we're doing, is we picked an area, Salt Lake City. It's a metro that's one of the fastest growing metros in the nation right now. It's got a red hot economy and, you know, a really, really solid tech startup scene. And I saw a recent report saying that, you know, a new venture-backed company has a 1 in 64 chance in Utah to become a unicorn, which is best chances in the nation right now, right? So Silicon Valley, the numbers are like 1 out of 110, you know, but you know, start a venture-backed company in the Salt Lake City metro area and you're 1 in 64. You know, when you start looking at what's going on there, you know, economically, everything is awesome, you know, just like that Lego movie song. And when you start looking at the population, they've got one of the highest percentages of young people in the nation. They got the lowest average age in the nation, which means that there's going to be a lot of internal growth as well, or natural growth, whatever you call it. You know, the population guys have a specific word for it, but people having babies, you know, there's lots of those there. It's just got a lot of dynamics. And, you know, our goal is focus on that metro to where, you know, brokers are coming to us with the first look on everything that they see. And that's the long-term goal. I'm just trying to get there.
Nice. So yeah, you used to be based here on the East Coast in Virginia with me before you retired from the Marines and moved back out west where you're originally from. So let's talk about your 2024 approach. And you've been focusing on Salt Lake City since before 2024. But I suspect the theme of our conversation here is really going to be centered around focus, like you've mentioned, focusing on that market, but also particular types of assets and sizes of multifamily and everything. How have you boiled that down and really what you're looking at in terms of the specific assets, ages, classes, things like that?
Yeah, as far as the focus goes, you know, when you look, we talked about markets, you know, we're also looking kind of at the neighborhood levels. And, you know, looking back at, I think, you know, qualitatively, I tell my acquisitions guy this, you know, so many times that he'll probably vomit if he hears it again. But I tell him, when you look at a property, you know, the first question you ask yourself is, can you imagine owning that property for 20 years? You know, and if the answer is no, you know, we're probably not going to buy it, you know. So we are looking for properties in areas that we think are going to do well for 20 years. There's certain areas that we just don't want to buy in. We are typically looking for the B class assets, kind of in the middle of the market, you know, not at the top, not at the bottom. But, you know, we're also, you know, trying to, the hard part is trying to kind of bridge that gap. A lot of people talk about it, and I think it is really there. You know, there's a price where buyers are willing to buy, and there's a price at which sellers are selling. And, You know, we've seen a lot of properties, you know, where brokers are like, yep, this one's still available, that have basically sat on the market with an owner willing to sell for 6, 8 or sometimes, you know, 12 months just because nobody's hit their price, you know. So there are definitely a lot of challenges in the market. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Focus is right, is right where it's at.
So there's been a lot of talk, especially 2023, we saw some pretty significant foreclosures on apartment owners in other markets, not in Salt Lake City, but still, nonetheless, there's been talk about distressed owners in all types of commercial real estate assets. Do you see opportunity there, at least in your chosen market? I mean, with properties sitting on the market for up to 12 months, okay, those folks aren't really distressed and motivated, but how much distress are you seeing out there? How are you playing that?
The numbers show that there's not a lot of distress. And I mean, Salt Lake City, just by the nature, you've got a very conservative religion there, which means a lot of people are very conservative fiscally as well. You know, there's a lot of buy and hold investors. There's a lot of properties that have been held for, you know, 15, 20, 30 years by, you know, individuals or groups, you know. And so we haven't seen a lot of distress. You know, I think I saw one of the brokers in the Salt Lake area post something saying, hey, this is the first foreclosure, you know, this year in Utah on a multifamily property. So we're not seeing like that level of distress. We did just pick up a property. This one was, I think, the domino from a distressed property. The story that we heard from the broker, and I got a little bit of it direct from the seller as well, where the seller had a couple of properties. He does developments and he does like the heavy value adds. But when he does the heavy value adds, they hold the properties when they're done. You know, they're not flippers. They're really the holders. And when they do the developments, they do the same thing. But he had a couple of developments that, because of the interest rates, the developments had stalled. Right. And, you know, he looks at his entire portfolio and says, okay, I need this much money. Which one can I, you know, let loose and, you know, get the ball rolling over here? So this is anecdotally, you know, what I think is happening is the people who are distressed are able to maneuver themselves so that they're not losing the properties. And then once again, you know, just, it is a very conservative business mindset out there. It's a very conservative, you know, fiscal mindset with a lot of people. You know, I don't think there was a lot of people that kind of got into the more risky loans. And then the last point I'll make is, you know, it is a very low cap rate market. You know, most of the loans, even two years ago, you weren't going to get 70. You're barely going to get 70% LTV on some of these loans, even on stabilized property.
You have a program where you teach people about apartment investing and, you know, masterminds, things like that. You're very active in that space. And some conversations that I've had with other people who are also in that kind of training and education space have indicated that the flow of new students essentially into a lot of these, especially bigger, higher ticket training programs, has really slowed down. Second half of 2023, folks really cut back on investing in training programs, and it just is what it is. Have you seen that change in your exposure? Are there just kind of fewer people that want to be apartment entrepreneurs these days?
You know, I don't know if there's fewer people that want to. I think what I'm hearing the most is now the right time, because, you know, even your experienced operators are having difficulty, you know, acquiring new properties. And I think a lot of people are just kind of putting their aspirations on hold for a little bit. It's like, okay, you know, right now might not be the right time, you know, especially when you're seeing a lot of these posts from the experienced operators saying, you know, I saw one yesterday from somebody that I know very well. It said our acquisition goal for last year was X amount of hundreds of millions of dollars, and we closed on one property at 40 million, you know. And it's just like, when you see posts like that, you know, I think it tends to be discouraging for the person trying to jump in. It's like, man, even if these guys aren't buying, if these guys aren't able to get things under contract, you know, how can I, you know? But, you know, what I try to tell people is, you know, that's going to change. The pendulum rarely stays on one extreme for very long. And eventually that pendulum is going to go the other way. I don't know when, but eventually that pendulum is going to start going the other way. I think in my heart of hearts, I think it's, you know, at the tip and is starting to move the other right way right now. But what I would say is now is probably the best time to get into coaching, because it takes 3 to 6 months to figure out, you know, what you're doing in the multifamily space, how to put something together. And, you know, by that time, you know, we could be game back on again.
Or in my case, I think it took me about 1.5, 2 years to get anything done all the way back in the day. I'm a slow learner, maybe, I guess, but you know, you learn eventually. It's been a while now.
From when I started coaching, you know, it took, you know, 6 months to get the first property under contract, 9 months to close it approximately. And at the year mark, we had 3 actually. But if you would account all the times where I was like, I'm going to do this, I'm eventually going to do this. Yeah, 1.5, 2 years. I'm there with you.
So let's talk a little bit about business plans. The value add business plan has been kind of the dominating business plan in the multifamily investing space for who knows how long, quite a long time. Buy a property, fix it up, and either sell it off or refinance it or something, hold it into the future, but realize that increased value from increasing the net operating income. But we're in a time today when a lot of folks think we're already in a recession, and some folks say that we're not, but I think it's clear that things are slowing down. Some markets have falling rents. So as you approach this economic environment for your business plans, are you still looking at the value add business model? And if so, how are you underwriting that from the standpoint of rents that you can potentially get once you've done the repairs, then also stabilized increases in rents and costs to do all your renovations, right? There's a lot to the value add business plan. So how are you underwriting that today?
Lots of good questions. You know, I'll say up front, you know, one thing that we're kind of hyper concerned about is making sure we have a flexible exit strategy. You know, so more than anything else, you know, it's, are we going to be able to, you know, refinance on the back end? So refinance or sell, you know, so when we're getting into any deals, the way we're navigating the market right now is trying to get flexible debt. You know, we'll assume a loan that, you know, Fannie or Freddie, we've done that a couple times in the last year, but we're happy to assume loans and, you know, get into something that's already started that debt, that prepayment pay down cycle. But we're also looking at potential new loans as far as, but we're going to buy down the prepayment as well. You know, so looking for like a 3-1-0 and then a bunch of zeros, you know, for your prepayment instead of like the 5-4-3-2-1 step down. But that's kind of like navigating the current market. As far as the value add strategy, the interesting thing in Salt Lake is, We don't see a lot of really good value adds on the market right now, you know, and we see a lot of stabilized properties. And I think the people that have the value add properties, the ones that they've, you know, what does it take to be a value add? Somebody has to not have renovated it in the last, you know, 10 years, right? And I think a lot of these people that have properties that could be really good value add plays are in the boat where now's a terrible time to sell and they're not selling. So we haven't seen a whole lot of really good value add plays on the market, but you know, we've seen a lot of very recently renovated ones. And I think those are the ones that are popping up where we can actually get a better price, because the recently renovated ones are the ones where the owner's most likely to have that short-term bridge loan that they're trying to get out of. It is kind of, you know, we are looking at everything. I actually prefer the value add, but I've kind of opened my aperture up a little bit so that, I mean, it's one of those where looking at the aperture of the light example, I mean, the less light that's coming through, the wider you open that thing so more light can get through, right? That's exactly what we're doing. We're looking at smaller properties now too. Ideally, I'd want my acquisitions to be $10 to $20 million right now. We'll go down to 5. So we are looking at some smaller properties. It's not as sexy, but you know, it keeps us in the game.
So let's talk a little bit about that loan assumption process that you've gone through, because that's a little bit of the holy grail, if you will, in a way, rates being so much higher now than they were. If you can get that longer term loan and assume that at a much lower rate, that can potentially be attractive, but you have to qualify for it. The bank has to agree to that. There's a lot of steps to it. So what's that been like for you?
Most banks are happy to do it. The general requirement from the bank is they're not going to go into a more risky position, All right. They're not going to go from a really solid lender to a, you know, really, or not, sorry, not lender, really solid owner to a, you know, buyer that doesn't have a lot of experience. So, I mean, your requirements to get the loan might be a little bit elevated, but that's kind of based on who has the loan already. You know, if you barely qualify for a Fannie or Freddie and they've got an owner that, you know, has qualified, has plenty of net worth, plenty of experience and everything else, you know, you might not get it. So really what you need to do on these assumptions is just come in with a strong team, you know, and I've got a couple of people with very large balance sheets that I can call to bolster it up. And so we've been able to assume several loans, and I'm actually on other people's list as somebody to call when they need help qualifying for loans. So I've been on that end as well, where, you know, I've provided the experience and some of the liquidity or net worth to qualify for the loans. But I mean, they are out there. It's a little bit tougher on the qualification piece, but you know what your rate is. All right. You know what your payments are. There's a lot of things there that are just, you know, there's no questions. You know, it's like, this is exactly what the proceeds are going to be. This is exactly what the rate's going to be. You know what the term is going to be. The only question is, when are we going to close in this cycle? So definitely more benefits. And if you can assume a loan right now, I think that's a good way to win.
Nice. Nice. So right now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. All right, Brian, I've got three questions I ask every guest on the show here at the end. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. Number one, what's your number one book recommendation?
My favorite book ever is the Book of Mormon. You know, it's another testament of Jesus Christ, and it's something that, you know, I've probably read it cover to cover 25, 30 times in my life, and, you know, just started it again for the next time. But that's my all-time favorite one.
Question number two, who or what inspires you?
Man, you know, I look at a lot of the influencers. You know, it's at the end of the day, I think it's my kids that inspire me. You know, I look at all these influencers and see what they're doing, but, you know, the kids, that's it. You know, it's kind of like you see the shiny object and then you look around, you're like, you know, what I've got sitting next to me is better than all that other stuff. So
nice. Question number three, think about Brian at 80 years old. If you could sit down with him, have a conversation with him, get on the phone with him, what advice or feedback do you think 80-year-old Brian would give to Brian of today?
That's a good question. And I'm going to go with what, you know, my grandparents would tell me. You know, When I started having kids, you know, my grandparents were in their 70s and eventually 80s. What they would tell me is, you know, spend time with your kids. They would say, take every opportunity you have to hug those little ones, because, you know, when they get older, they're not going to want to hug you back, you know, and just things like that. But it was never, you know, spend more time in business. It was never spend more time, you know, making more money. It was always spend more time with your kids.
Nice. Brian, thanks for joining us today and giving us your boots on the ground take on multifamily in 2024. If folks want to get in touch, where can they find you?
You know, LinkedIn is the easiest place to get me. Or, you know, our website, streamlinecapitalgroup.com. And, you know, I don't care. My email address, brian@streamlinecapitalgroup.com. And that's easy.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again for joining us today. To everybody out there, you know, Brian's a super nice guy. I've known him for several years now. You should definitely reach out to him if you want to have a chat. I want to thank you all for joining us today. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and catch us here every weekday. Right now, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you on the next one.